What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with technically my pick, but we also took some heavy influence from our friend Ben, who has been asking us to cover this movie for quite some time now. And we finally decided to do it for him. And we are going to be talking about, it's got three names, hold on. Beyond the Darkness slash Buried Alive slash Buio Omega from 1979. I have a little bit of information on why it has three titles, but we'll dig into that once we get into the actual episode. Obviously first time watch for both of us. I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on this one because I feel like it could go either way with this one. We'll see though. But yeah, before we talk about it, we'll kick off our news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a Cameron's Brewing Chalky Walkie
Chalky walkie. I feel like you've had that
chocolate
before.
milkshake stout. Maybe, I don't know, it doesn't look familiar.
No, maybe not.
Know I've had a many chocolate stouts before, but yeah.
Let me know
What
how it
about you?
is. I'm drinking Caledon Hills Maple Strong and Free Brown Ale.
Hey, I have that one too, I think.
Do you?
I know I saw it there. I don't know if I picked it
Yeah.
up, but I'm pretty sure I picked up one.
Says full-bodied, sweet, and unmistakably Canadian. Just like me.
Hey, nice.
Oh shit, that's actually really good. How's yours?
It's really good,
Yeah.
actually.
Chocolate milkshakey.
It is, yeah.
All right. It's your last four watched.
Last four, and I actually did watch four movies,
Did
so
you? Nice.
alrighty. So watched Devil Wears Prada
Yeah.
with the wife, because it was her birthday on Saturday, so took
Oh,
her to watch
shit.
Devil Wears Prada 2. It was good. Not like quite as good as the first one, but still a really good legacy sequel.
Yeah.
So yeah. Watched a movie called Resurrection from last year, this year, whatever. It's on Criterion Channel. It's a
Okay.
Chinese movie. Crazy movie. I don't even know how to describe it. I've never seen anything like it, honestly.
Okay.
It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes. It took me quite a few watches to get through. I don't know. It takes place over like different times, but it, I don't know. You just gotta watch it, honestly. Yeah, it's basically people stop dreaming because they realize that dreams, like if they stop dreaming, they become immortal. And anyways, they're like there's
Okay.
people in this world who still dream, and it's really fucking weird. But just something about it just really blew me away. So, yeah, I'm not really selling it that well, to be honest.
No, but I mean, I see your score, and it does sound intriguing, so.
And then I watched my 4K of Pitch Black finally.
Okay.
I haven't seen this movie, jeez, probably since Cradle to the Grave, honestly. Like, it's been probably a good like 15 to 18 years.
Yeah.
I used to love it as a kid. It was creepy. But man, this movie is fucking amazing, man. Like
Okay.
it the CGI isn't great in some cases, but the 4K is really nice, man. Vin Diesel is so good as what's this fucking character's name? I have the sequel that I bought too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what it is. I want to say
Anyway,
Xander, but that's Triple X.
duh, yeah, but man, he's so good in it, and I definitely recommend if you haven't seen this in a while, definitely check it out.
Okay.
Really good. And that's it.
It's gonna bother me. I'm looking it up. Oh, what the fuck? Riddick. Jesus
Yes,
Christ.
Riddick.
Oh my God. The Chronicles of Riddick.
They also had a video game that I used to play back in the day,
Yeah,
a
I do
Riddick
remember
game.
that.
That was fucking
Yeah.
sick too. But anyway.
Man, there was some sick like movie tie-in games back then. Like, remember the Matrix game?
I don't remember the Matrix game, but I remember playing the John Woo game.
Stranglehold?
Yes,
Stranglehold?
yes,
Yeah.
yeah.
They need to fucking remake that game. I would play the fuck out of that.
Yeah. No, I never played the Matrix games. I played well, they made it a movie, but Max Payne was
Okay,
a great one too.
yeah. The Matrix one was fun.
But who you watched?
I've only watched one since we last recorded because, like, we're
Okay.
kind of we recorded late last week and now we're recording early this week. So,
Yeah.
I watched Keeper that came out last year.
Okay.
Osgood Perkins.
Oh, is that the one who made the review on Kilt and the Redneck? I think it was Ian, maybe. And he's like, "What the fuck did I just watch or
Oh, that
something?"
was me.
Oh, that was you.
I said,
Okay.
what the hell was even that?
Okay, that was you.
Because, like, it's not a bad movie. It's just like
Yeah.
one of those movies. It's just like, what the fuck
Okay.
was that?
Yeah, I do want to see it because I've only seen two of his movies, and I absolutely loved one of them and absolutely hated the other one. So,
Yeah, because you didn't like The Monkey,
yeah, exactly.
but then Long Legs was fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Long Legs, for our news, Long Legs 2 has confirmed to release in 2028.
Okay. I was good doing it as well.
We have a trailer for Evil Dead Burn. I haven't watched it
Okay.
yet, but I'm
Me
excited
either.
to check that out. We have a new poster for a Scary Movie.
Jeez.
So looking at it, I definitely see a Long Legs reference, a Wednesday reference. Looks like Doofy's back. Megan reference. Substance. So we'll see. See how it
Nice.
goes. I'm excited for it. And then they have announced that the Piranha franchise returns with a Japanese horror.
Okay.
It's going to be Piranha Pacific Nightmare. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Oh, what's this? Gremlins 2.5 hour assembly cut just screened in Los Angeles. Well, shit. I'd go watch that.
Yeah.
Neat. All right. Yeah, that's all I have. There wasn't a whole lot. What do we got for the 4Ks?
We got Alice in Wonderland,
Okay.
the OG from 1951 on 4K.
Yeah.
We got the Pusher trilogy.
Okay.
Not sure what that is. We got It, Welcome to Derry, first season. We talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
We got Wuthering Heights, 4K. We got Goat. We got It Came from Outer Space.
All right.
We got Blue Thunder. We got Top Gun Steelbook.
That's cool.
We got Stray Dog on Criterion. And well, I guess that's the same thing. What's the difference? That one's a Steelbook, I guess. Cool. Yeah, that's it.
Right. Sweet. Okay. Let's dive into this movie.
Do it.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Beyond the Darkness from 1979. Starting off the synopsis, a disturbed young taxidermist exhumes his recently deceased girlfriend slash fiance, takes her body to his family villa, and embalms her corpse with help from his strange housekeeper. But his bouts of insanity are just beginning. Dun dun dun. This was directed by Joe D'Amato. I don't know if you looked at his resume, but he directed a lot of porn. Like a lot.
I did not really do a deep dive into him.
He's done some deep dives, that's for sure.
Okay.
Ha ha. And he also directed Antropophagus, which I watched on Shudder last year or 2 years ago. And it was kind of fucked
Oh.
up. But
All right.
yeah. Didn't really recognize a whole lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
'Cause yeah. A lot of 70s and 80s and 90s porn.
Italian stallion, baby.
For the cast, we have Kieran Cantor, who played Frank. Cinzia Morial played Anna. Franca Stoppie played Iris. And Sam Modesto played Mr. Kale.
Yep.
I didn't have any honorable mentions.
Yeah, me either.
Would. All right, so before we dive into the movie discussion, I mentioned that I have a little write-up of why there's three different names, and I told you yesterday that the marketing for this movie is fucking batshit crazy. So it's going to be a
Okay.
little long-winded.
Okay.
Buckle up.
All right.
So, Beyond the Darkness was distributed theatrically in Italy by Eurocop Films on November 15th, 1979. The film grossed a total of 153.7 million Italian lires domestically. Italian film historian Roberto Curti stated that Beyond the Darkness performed rather poorly at the Italian box office. The film has been released in a myriad of titles abroad, the most well-known being Beyond the Darkness. A version of the film was released in the United States titled Buried Alive in 1985 by Thriller Video. This version of the film has anglicized the names of the characters and is missing parts of the Italian theatrical version. In the United States, the film had a theatrical release under the title Buried Alive through Aquarius Releasing in 1985, or in 1984, sorry. In Italy, the film was re-released in 1987 as In Quella Casa Buio Omega in an attempt to pass the film off as being related to the American films The Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, which were released in Italy as La Casa and La Casa 2. In Spain, the film was marketed as being a sequel in the House franchise as House 6
What?
El Terror Continua and also, oh, and in Mexico as part of the zombie series of films as Zombie
What?
10.
What the
Right? So they've tried to pass this
fuck?
off as like in the same universe as three different horror franchises.
That's so crazy.
Right? So this is why we have three different titles just with different re-releases in different
Yeah.
countries and it trying to say that it's part of
Yeah.
fucking different movie franchises.
Oh my God.
And it doesn't fit into any of these movies,
No, it
like
doesn't.
these
No.
franchises.
No.
So I just thought it was kind of
That's
funny.
hilarious. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
All right. We can dive into this discussion now.
All right. So yeah, talk about Beyond the Darkness from 1979. Movie opens up with kind of a quick montage of our main guy Frank. He's picking up a box from someone out of a house. And we get our first listen of the music that's going to be basically throughout this whole fucking movie. It's nonstop. Just crazy synth music, like,
Yeah.
oh my God. It
It
got
was a
annoying up
lot.
to a point,
Yeah.
like there's like no breaks, but it felt like it's crazy. So Frank's getting this box, and then it cut to an old lady and another lady with a voodoo doll. And the old lady's like poking needles in it, and then it cuts to Anna, who's like in a hospital bed, and then the old lady like pricks it one more time, and then we see Anna die, basically.
Yeah. One thing that drove me nuts with Anna, well, through the whole movie, like we're gonna talk about this a bunch, I'm sure, but the dubbing in this movie is fucking terrible.
It's atrocious.
And Tubi didn't have the Italian version, and
Yeah.
we told Ben that, and Ben kind of told us that the original version never was Italian.
Yeah.
It's like they filmed it in Italian, but then it's they just immediately dubbed it in English.
And like the actors or like the voices they got for some people like was like
Awful.
laughable.
So bad. But anyway, it's circling back around to what I was about to say. Anna is in this hospital bed, and she's like gasping, but her mouth isn't moving.
Yeah.
Like if she like she moans, and that's fine, that's passable, but then like she'll gasp, she'll go like this, and her mouth is completely closed. It's just like
Yeah.
the,
Yeah. So Anna's dead. We see Frank, the box that he had a dead baboon in it, and he's like a taxidermist, basically. And then we see him at home with Iris, and this movie does nothing to explain anything at all. Like, it really bothered me a lot. You don't know anything about these characters except for Frank's mom died recently, and obviously his fiance is dead now. You don't know who Iris is. I was like, okay, like who is this? Like a housekeeper or like a maid? And then they have like a weird relationship, and I was like, then they're gonna get married later on. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's
She
so weird.
breastfeeds him to calm him down.
Yeah, pulls her tit and just he starts sucking, and she's like, oh, it's okay, it's my baby boy, and it's so weird.
Yeah,
So
and like she
weird.
didn't seem that much older than him.
No. So, why do you think she had Anna killed? Because she wants to like be a part of the family, like get the money, like the royalties or whatever from him.
Yeah, because I mean, he's obviously pretty well off. His family was well off, and now he has inherited the estate.
Yeah.
So I feel like she wants to be the one with him.
Yeah.
But it's all speculation because, like you said, like they don't really explain anything.
No.
But I guess like later on, because like there's a dinner party later on, and it's all her family members, and they're weird as fuck, dude.
They're very weird. Yeah.
And I get like it kind of gets explained there a little bit just from their
A
side
little bit.
conversations,
Yeah. Yeah.
but we talk about that a little bit later.
So yeah, we get Anna's funeral. She has a twin sister named Elena, which I don't know. I don't remember seeing her at the funeral, but
I don't either.
anyway, she shows up later in the movie. So funeral happens, and then it cuts to Frank at the graveyard digging up her body. And like another thing that I didn't like about this movie is like you're just going based off of what you're watching, basically. Like you don't know why Frank is digging up her body, why he's so obsessed with her, and like why he does the things he does. Like at some points it almost seems like he's doing it to impress Iris, but it doesn't really tell you at all.
Yeah. And like we see him inject her with an embalming fluid like at her funeral. So he has this has already been premeditated that he's going to do this. But I think it's almost like Bates kind of thing, Norman Bates kind of thing, where
Yeah.
he does like the taxidermy, but then he's becomes obsessed with killing women too.
But he doesn't though. Like the next scene with the hitchhiker, like he seems like he doesn't give a fuck that she's like trying to leave, and he only kills her because she attacks him.
But he keeps showing off Anna to all these other women. Like she's just like chilling in his bed.
Is he showing her off? I thought he was just getting off on like her dead body there.
Well, that might be it, but like she's laying in his bed, and then
Yeah.
like there was three women, I think, that he brings home to sleep with. Or,
I
well,
think so.
actually, the hitchhiker, she wasn't sleeping with her, but and like he'll uncover Anna's body. So I don't know if he can only get off if he's looking at her, or if he like has this thought process that like she's watching him and like he gets off from that. I don't know.
So he's bringing her back to the house, just kind of chucks her in the back of his van. No, like, blanket or towel or nothing, just dead body in the back. He passes the hitchhikers and pick her up. I think it's a flat tire. Changes the tire, and then the hitchhiker's just in his truck. They just get like just got in, like didn't even ask or anything. I thought that was hilarious. And her fucking voice, oh my God. It was so bad. It's like this British voice that like doesn't go with like the actor, I felt like, at all. Oh man, I don't know. Questionable.
It wasn't great.
But so they're like drive in and he's gonna bring her, I guess, back home. And then she starts smoking some weed and the hand from Anna like comes through the window and he like pushes it back. But then the hitchhiker girl just passes out in the front of the truck. Brings her back to the house. Just leaves her in the van, takes up the body, starts embalming her, taking out the organs, all that stuff, and then like takes her heart out and like takes a bite out of it. I was like, I don't. I felt
That
like some of
fucked
this
me
movie
up.
was, yeah. I felt like some of the movie was just like doing it for like wow factor, because
Well, and
like
that's.
he doesn't talk really at all in the movie, right? So you don't know like what his thought process is, why he's eating her heart, like.
Yeah, that kind of threw me out, like threw me for a loop a little bit. I was not expecting that. And like, that's the. Well, he bites someone later on, but like, not to eat them. That's like the only
No.
instance of cannibalism that he has.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's like, oh, now a piece of your heart's always going to be with me kind of thing. But Joe D'Amato told one of the actresses, I can't remember which one, that his goal for this movie was to make audiences puke. So
I can see that,
I
yeah.
feel like what you just said is kind of, it kind of rings true that he just went for wow factor.
Yeah. So he's doing all this stuff, like sews her back up, and then the hitchhiker girl like wakes up and she doesn't know where the fuck she is. And like this whole part confused the shit out of me because she like walks in there, he's doing his business with Anna, the girl screams, and then she runs away and he's just like standing there, goes back to what he was doing. Like, doesn't care that she saw this, like, just nothing. She's like screaming, trying to get out. And then for some reason, she decides to run back in there and try and choke him. Like,
Like you had a perfect out, you were gone.
yeah. And then, like, he tackles her and knocks her down. And then this part was gross, but like, I didn't understand why he was doing it. Like, he just grabs some pliers. And then rips all of her fingernails off and then chokes her and kills her. Like, I didn't understand why he did that. Like, it just seemed so out of like pocket for this character.
Yeah, I just feel like he's just so like deeply mentally ill.
Yeah.
Like
But it
he's.
doesn't go into that mental illness, right? So like,
No, not at all.
yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just feel like he has these like deep-seated desires that will randomly come out.
Yeah. So you think this has always happened, or is just now that it's kind of happening?
Well, I think with the death of his mother and then the death of Anna, I think maybe they've kind of triggered it. But I mean, he's always been into taxidermy, so maybe.
So he throws her body in the van. And then Iris shows up and she's like helping him with the body and stuff like that. The next morning, the guy from the beginning who gave him the baboon, he says, "Oh, my client wants the baboon. Like, are you done with it?" And he says, "No." And then we see this guy just like in the garage. I think that was that Mr. Kale?
So
Okay.
he's the guy that works at the funeral home, and he saw him injecting Anna with the embalming fluid.
Okay.
So I think this whole thing with the baboon was just a ruse to get him to Frank's house. Like, so he knows where
Yeah,
Frank lives.
he's pretending to buy the baboon. Yeah, because after he looks through the house or the garage, doesn't find anything, then he gets back in with the guy and they drop him off his car and he's like, oh, that's it.
Well, he does find the hitchhiker's necklace
Right, yeah.
and blood on the ground.
Well, that's later in the movie.
Oh, that was at this part.
We haven't met the hitchhiker yet. Or not the hitchhiker, sorry, never mind, yeah. I was thinking about the
Joker.
jogger.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the dubs are so bad in this movie. Frank goes back in the house, can't find the hitchhiker girl, and then Iris hid the hitchhiker girl, and they're in the bathroom. Frank's filling up the tub with formaldehyde or acid, whatever.
Hydrochloric acid or something,
Yes,
yeah.
whatever. And then Iris is there, strips her naked, and just starts chopping her head off and her limbs off with a fucking butcher knife.
I love the way that this scene was shot
Yeah, me too.
because the way that where the camera's angled, we can always tell that it's the hitchhiker's real body, but then like she'll start hacking pieces off and she hacks her head off.
Yeah.
And the way that it's filmed, you can't see her real head. So it looks
No.
like she's actually pulling her head off. And like, they're like pretty bad stage prop type limbs and shit like that. But the
Yeah, I mean,
whole
it's not
act of
bad
it,
for 79.
the whole act of it, like just the way that the camera is focused, is her torso stays in the shot the whole time. So it does actually look like she's chopping the limbs off this woman.
Exactly.
It's just the way that she's positioned that you can't see the actual limbs coming off.
So they finish that up, and then the next day or after, they're in the kitchen, they're making. Iris made like some sort of stew or something like that. I don't know if what was up, but this scene was fucking disgusting, man. I almost threw up just like Frank did. Like, I don't know what the fuck Iris is doing, but like, she's like takes a bite and then she like mashes it in her mouth and is like spitting it out, and I don't know what the fuck she was doing. It was weird.
Nasty.
And then Frank gets like upset, pukes, and then goes in the living room, and then like he's like kind of like getting angry, and then she comes up beside him and starts giving him a hand job, and I was like, what is this relationship? Like, it's so fucking weird. So the next morning we see Frank going for a run. He meets up with the girl. She injured herself, her ankle, and then he just says, oh hey, I live down the street. I'll patch you up and then take you to the hospital. And then she just reluctantly agrees in 2 seconds. He is terrible at applying lotion. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. And then he applies the lotion, and then he says he goes in for a kiss, and she's like, oh, like not now, like just finish patching me up. And then finish patching her up, and then it's like, all right, let's go. And just agree to have sex just like
Yeah, it
that. Like you
disturbed
just met her, and
10 minutes later.
yeah, she's up for it. So he takes, like you said before, he takes her into the bedroom where Anna is, and they're like starting to kiss, and then she takes the blankets down, and then the girl sees Anna and freaks out, obviously, and then Frank bites her neck out, and she dies.
Not quite
What?
here.
What do you mean?
We think she's dead. Then they throw her in the incinerator and she's very much still alive.
Is she in, alive in the incinerator?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, she's moving around and like fucking rolls over.
Oh fuck, I missed that.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ, she's in there still alive.
Like you said, Frank agrees to marry Iris. Although like he's definitely not in the right mindset, like you can tell. she kind of just like kind of forces on him a little bit. He kind of just says agree, like, okay, I'll fucking do what you say and marry you or whatever. And then the cops show up asking about a girl. They have no search warrant, but Iris lets them in anyway. And then they're in the basement where like the he does all the work. And then they end up just leaving. So nothing really happens.
One thing I don't like, I don't know, obviously, but they open up the incinerator door and like just kind of poked their head in. Would it not still smell? Because like, I don't
Could
think it
be
was.
animals as well that they smell.
That's true. But like, to not even question it, like, oh, what did you just
They're,
burn?
yeah. I mean, they are in like a embalming studio,
Yeah,
right?
it's fair.
Yeah, so Frank is gone at this point, but Iris is still there. The guy, I think this is after Iris is that has like the dinner with her family and stuff like that, I think. Because Iris is passed the fuck out drunk. And Mr. Kale shows up and he's searching around for Anna again. He does find Emma in one of the closets in like a garage or something like that and takes a bunch of pictures. And then he goes back to his like studio and whatever gets the photos printed or whatever.
One's Emma?
Not Emma, sorry, Anna.
Oh, Anna. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then this scene with Iris and Frank, I did not understand. So Iris is keeps telling Frank throughout the movie to get rid of Anna. Cause like she's dead. Like, you know she's dead, just get rid of her. And then Frank freaks the fuck out, starts punching her, calls her an old slut. And then like the next scene, Iris is back. Like nothing happened. So like I don't know, I didn't understand that, how like he literally punched her in the face, pushed her, told her to get the fuck out, called her an old slut. And then she's back, like nothing happened. That is what I miss.
Yeah, I don't know. And like in this sense, she's not wrong. Like it's time to bury Anna. But then after he attacks Iris, he goes to Anna and he's like, it's only gonna be you and me, like I'll stay with you forever and all this shit. But and like throughout the movie, Anna starts to deteriorate a little bit, like not a whole lot. Like her, it's just her skin colors like changing and whatnot, but like eventually it's gonna get to a point where she's gonna be gross.
So Frank goes into a bar. He's eyeing a girl there. And then like the jogging girl, she agrees to go with him like super quick. Like he just walks into the bathroom and then she's like, "Oh, I want to dance." And he's like, "Oh, dancing isn't for me. There's too many people. I don't want to go for a car ride." She's like, "Yeah, sure, let's go." And then they end up at the house together, like having sex, or they didn't have sex, but she has a bath randomly. I don't know. It's kind of weird. So then Anna's sister shows up, Elena, and Frank freaks out and he kicks the other girl, like doesn't kill her, right? So like he doesn't, do you think he brought her there to kill her?
I think so. And like the two women that he has sex with, well, he is going to have sex with the jogger. And then we can assume he's probably gearing up to have sex with the girl from the disco. And they're like both blonde hair, slender women. So kind of like Anna. But then the hitchhiker girl, like she's a little more full bodied. She has dark hair, darker skin. And he didn't have any desire to be with her. Like how you said, he was just going to let her go. So I think he's trying to like just fulfill this fantasy of being with Anna still.
Yeah, because whenever Elena shows up, he's like, "Whoa, like this is Anna. Like I need to have her. Like don't let her leave." And then Iris is back, and that's why I was like, "What are you doing here? Like he fucking did that to you." But, yeah. So all the lights are out, in the house. Elena walks in, and Anna's body just sitting there in one of the chairs, And then we see in the background Iris with the fucking big ass knife, and then Alina just passes out the wrong time, just to pass right out right there. Like, so I guess Frank never finds out that Iris killed Anna, basically.
No, I don't think he does.
Because he sees the old lady after the club. She's singing that song.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I don't think he knows, like, who she is, though.
It was more of a like, listen to this fucking crackpot as she's walking by.
So Frank starts defending Elena, and then Iris tries attacking Frank. Frank, I believe, does he bite her like cheek off or something like that? And then Iris rips his eye out like fucking I don't know, some movie, I guess. I'm sure I've seen it before.
I think I have an
And
idea.
then she kicks him in the nuts, and I believe that she explodes one of his balls
Does she?
because he's holding his crotch and there's blood all in like his junk area.
Maybe, yeah.
So I
True.
think she fucking, yeah.
Fuck me. That hurts.
But then Frank ends up stabbing Iris. Yeah, they're both dead. The Mr. Kale is there, and then he brings Anna's body, I guess, back to the grave site.
Elena's. He thinks it's Anna's body.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he thinks it's Anna. Like, you at this point in the movie, you think it's Anna's body, right? Going. And then out of the movie, Elena wakes up out of the like the coffin. And then, yeah, that's pretty
In
much
like
it.
a weird sleepaway camp type facial expression.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the credits roll.
Yes, sir.
All
Anything
right.
else?
No.
Alrighty. Well, that's the way
I
the blood splatters.
said I felt like this could go either way with you. And judging by your comments throughout, I feel like you're going to score it pretty low, but.
Yeah, I'm for it. I mean, I'm sure we'll feel a lot from Ben correcting us and explaining this movie to us. So, looking forward to that. I give it a 1.5 out of 5. Not my favorite Italian movie. I have watched like a few more as of late, so like I kind of again understand the genre a little bit. The story is absolutely stupid. I just didn't like the characters. I didn't like the writing. The dubbing was awful. But I can like appreciate the music. I appreciate like the practical effects were actually pretty decent in this movie. And Iris as like basically Norman Bates, I guess, right? Like that kind of motherly, weird, creepy girl. Like the shot with her like behind Elena with the knife, I thought was really cool. So not like a really terrible movie. Like I might watch it again, but I don't know. Like, yeah. Anyway, 1.5 out of 5. What would you?
I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Wow, okay.
I said it's not an overly bad movie, and like you mentioned, like the gore and practical effects were done really well for 1979. But yeah, the English dubbing was fucking atrocious. I don't know what their thought process was with this, whether they thought that it would get more viewership if it was dubbed in English, but just the way that they did it was so bad, man. And like that dinner party with the dubbing, I was just like, there, because there's like multiple voices going on. And I was like, this is fucking terrible. Like I tried not to let that aspect of it take me into the movie, but it was really hard sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do feel like this was a very ambitious movie for that era. And I think Joe D'Amato did a really good job at shocking audiences, like how he wanted to do. So I think he succeeded with that. But yeah, and like that synth score was pretty wild at times, but it was good. I don't know. Sorry, Jesus Christ. I have to edit that out. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about this one. I think I will watch it again.
Okay.
And it's just, yeah, I don't know. Not terrible in my opinion.
Cool.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. Except we won't, because there is no critics' consensus. There's no critic reviews. There is an audience score of 57% on 2,500 ratings and an average score of 3.3 out of 5 or a 6.6 out of 10. What's Letterboxd got?
I know I'm definitely in the minority of this movie, so
But
Letterboxd has a huh?
I was gonna say, I don't think your score is like unwarranted though, because like there is some glaring issues with this movie. I think it's just either you like it or you don't.
This movie has a 3.3 out of 5. Jensen gave it a 3.5. Nathan gave it a 3 out of 5. And Slash and Captain gave it a 2 out of 5.
I mean, we're all kind of in a range. Seems like everybody's just like kind of meh on it.
I mean,
All
even
right.
Ben said, he said it's not a great movie. It is, he likes
Yeah,
it.
he just enjoys it, yeah. Which is fair. All right. What do you got for me?
We are gonna do rank top five Italian horror directors.
Okay.
All right.
Do I know
So
them all?
first one, huh?
Do I know them all?
Yes, you do. I'll also say some movies if just to refresh your memory.
Okay.
So first one is Mario Bava.
Okay.
So he's done Black Sabbath, Bay of Blood, Black Sunday, Blood and Black Lace, Kill Baby Kill.
I mean, he's one of the godfathers of Giallo, right? So I'm gonna put him at three.
All
Put him
right.
right in the middle.
We will go with his son, Lamberto Bava,
Okay.
who he did Demons, Demons 2, and A Blade in the Dark.
I'll put him at four just because like I've only watched Demons.
Next one, let's go with Lucio Fulci, and he's done like The Beyond, Zombie, New York Ripper.
I might get some hate, but I'm gonna put fuck, put him at five.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I'm nervous for the rest of these.
Last one is our boy, Joe D'Amato.
Fuck.
There's
You only gave me four, I thought.
still one more after this.
Oh, I thought you said and the last one.
Oh, did I say the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to change Fulci then?
Oh, I can't. I can't.
Okay. All right. All right.
I hate myself, but I'll put him at two.
Okay.
D'Amato would have been fifth
I
for
mean, you
sure.
must love a lot of Italian porn, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And your number one, pretty easy one, or a pretty good one to have, Dario Argento.
Okay, I'm totally cool with that. Argento is like the one that I've watched the most of his movies too, so
Yes, me too. Yeah.
but yeah, I would keep everything the same except I would put Joe D'Amato at fifth.
Yeah.
And I should have known that you were gonna have him on here.
I know.
Oh well.
I do it every time.
It is what it is. The rest of the list is fine. All right. Ready for the scary section?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how did you rate the scares of this movie?
I'll go with 3 out of 10. Not like scary, but definitely some creepy moments and like the nail pulling scene. Like I kind of had to
Yeah.
turn away a little bit at that. And Iris is really fucking creepy. That actress did a great job, honestly. I'll go with 3 out of 10. Scary scene. I'll just go with like nail pulling scene just because like just in general, that's disgusting to me. And also, it went on for a long time, too.
Yeah, he pulled out all five of her
He just
fingernails for
kept
one hand.
going.
Yeah, it was gross.
So go with that scene.
Okay.
And then would I survive? I'll say yes. He only really targets women, and I don't know, it kind of seems like a pussy to me, so.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. My scares, I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Like it's previously mentioned, the gore was done really well for this time, and like they used all, like it was all practical effects. Even the scene like with him pulling out her intestines and shit, like just the cutting part, like of him cutting into her, just it looked really realistic. And I mentioned Iris too. I said like she weirded me the fuck out, man. She did a really good job. Scariest scene, I said whenever they're. Whenever they throw the hitchhiker girl in the tub of acid, and her skull pops out, and it's the cover of the movie. But man, it's that was fucking
That
gross.
was a good one, yeah.
And would I survive? I gave the same answer as you. Yes, the targeted murders were all women. They kind of fed into Frank's desires. So I'm not a blonde, slender woman. So. I think I'd be all right.
Sadly not.
All right, that wraps this one up. What are we going to be covering in 2 weeks?
So I tried doing you a favor. I mean, I probably still will do you a favor, but
Okay.
all of your logged top-rated horror movies are ones. I tried to find one that I haven't seen, but it's all the episodes we've done that I saw or that
Okay.
I've seen most of them. So
Yeah.
we'll just be talking about your favorite movie of 2025, I think. Definitely one of them, Sinners.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Yes.
I was hoping that was coming up soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think whenever we started the season, it was between Sinners and Nosferatu for me. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
all right. Yeah, I'm pumped. Fucking right. It's about time.
Yes, sir.
All right. Cool. In the meantime, you guys can catch us on social media at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram. YouTube, and if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. There's a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way, and there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thank you, Ben, for suggesting this movie.
Thank
It
you.
wasn't terrible, but we also didn't love
Yeah.
it. But yeah. Be like Ben. Suggest some movies to us, and
Yeah.
hopefully we'll get a chance to cover them.
Yep.
We enjoy doing these obscure listener requests.
Yeah.
So,
Exactly.
yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Bye.